Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emuna in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 12th installment on Halachos of the Sukkah. There is an interesting concept that the Gemara discusses when it comes to the building of the Sukkah, which is we learn from the language in the Pasuk of Ta'aseh. Ta'aseh means you should make a Sukkah, and we learn Ta'aseh, you should make it, v'lo min ha'asui, and it should not already be made. Meaning, the core component, the core halachic component of the sukkah, we discussed this much earlier in the series, is the schach. It should be that I have the walls, and then when I put the schach on, that is the crowning component of the building of the sukkah. It should not be I put up the schach, and then I essentially create a sukkah through the back door. In other words, it should not be that I put up the schach, and then only after the schach is up, like, the walls come up around the schach, and, you know, after the fact, all of a sudden I have a kosher sukkah. It shouldn't be that way. What would be practical applications of this? I want to give two examples. One has to do with the example of the tree that we had before. A person builds a sukkah, and there's a tree entirely covering their sukkah. And they say it's really no big deal because I'm going to have the tree cutter come Erev Yom Tov. So Yom Tov doesn't start. I don't need a kosher sukkah until 8 o'clock at night. And the guy is going to, I built my sukkah 2 weeks before Yom Tov. The guy is going to come and take down the tree Erev Yom Tov. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Yom Tov, I'll have a kosher sukkah. The problem is, when did it become a kosher sukkah? It didn't become a kosher sukkah thanks to my act of building of the sukkah. It became a kosher sukkah after the fact. That's the problem. It became a kosher sukkah after the fact. So that doesn't mean that you can't have the tree guy come Erev Yom Tov, but what it does mean is that you're actually, after that, supposed to do an act of essentially replacing the schach. We won't get into the details now of how exactly one does that. Basically, it would be one would pick up a certain amount of the schach just slightly and then put it back down. The point is you did an action to put the schach on in a way that now that I put the schach on, it's a kosher sukkah. That's one example. Another example has to do with people who have retractable roofs. So if you have a retractable roof, so now if you think about it, so if you have to then go and put the schach, you pull back the roof and then you put the schach on top of the sukkah, that's fine. Some people have the schach year-round underneath the retractable roof. So you roll back the roof, and again, it's the same thing. All of a sudden, just like back door, out of nowhere, I have a kosher sukkah. So how does that work? So again, it's a similar concept that one would go and go to the different pieces of schach and pick them up just for a moment. And through picking them up for a moment, one would render the sukkah kosher because when I'm placing the schach back down, I'm actively putting it on. Okay, if it's relevant for people, they should ask for more detail from halachic authority, but that's the general concept. One more thing having to do with the aftermath of sukkahs now. People ask about this all the time. Let's say you decide that the schach that you used the given year, you're not going to use it next year. You used some pieces of bamboo. You're not putting away for next year. What am I supposed to do with that schach? The shul will certainly not be happy with you if you show up with pieces of schach to put in the shemus. That's not going to work well. So basically, the halacha is that things that are tashmishe mitzvah, things that are for mitzvah purposes, once they're no longer being used for a mitzvah, they do not have inherent sanctity, unlike a Sefer Torah, unlike Shemos, unlike Tefillin, unlike Mezuzah, unlike things that even service those items. If it's not associated with these holy writings, if it's a mitzvah item, so it's once you're finished using it for the mitzvah, it's not inherently holy. The only thing is you're supposed to treat it with respect. You're not supposed to treat it in a disrespectful way, which practically speaking means you should not put it in a disgraceful place directly. So if you put the schach, the bamboo, the if you put the bamboo in recycling, you know, you put it for the wood recycling, and the people come and pick it up, you did not put it at all in a disgraceful position. There was a receptacle that you put it in. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know what they're doing with it afterwards. That's not my department. The point is, I didn't actively put it in a disgraceful place. The same thing, for the record, is said in the context of lulav. It's a very nice practice that many people take a lulav and burn it with the chametz erev Pesach. So that's, you started it with a mitzvah, and now you finish it with a mitzvah. That's a beautiful practice, and it's an encouraged practice. It's not mandatory. Theoretically, as long as one doesn't put it in the garbage can with their, leftover food, that would be disgraceful. But if you would put it, let's say, in some type of natural recycling, you didn't put it in a disgraceful place. So that's the halacha too, with leftover aspects of one sukkah. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.